Hey, you. Yeah, you. Have you heard? 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes Network is an official sponsor of the SplatCon, the first ever Nickelodeon-themed fan convention. And you know what that means, right? You can get all the exclusive updates by listening to the 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes podcast and subscribing to our channel right there in the Instagram DMs. But the best part is, you can show your support by using our discount code to grab your tickets for SplatCon taking place in Los Angeles on October 19th and 20th. We'll see you there.
And we're back. This is the 80s, 90s, 2000s Vibes, the podcast. I'm your host, Matt Corbin. As usual with the fellas, I got Jamar, I got Leeboy. Fellas, what's going on? How y'all feeling today?
Yo.
Man, I mean, you already know I'm feeling a little bit down right now. We're going to get into it in just a second, but we got some more positive news before that. But what's good with y'all, though, man?
I'm good. I'm chilling, man. I ain't do nothing all day. I slept all day, bro. I was sick yesterday. I took some NyQuil when I woke up today, and I slept all day. So I got some energy for y'all, man. I'm ready to rock, bro. What's good with it?
I respect it. I was on the same type time, working though mainly, but I took a rest day the other day. Slow week, but we grinding through it.
I did see the home team, Giovanni and Brian Hearn on Good Morning America. They talking about that quiet on the set, Doc. It's about to go down. I got a couple things lined up, so y'all make sure y'all stay tuned. But that quiet on the set, or quiet on set, excuse me. Dark Side of Child. They didn't play it up. I'm like, God damn, what did I sign up for? I mean, I'm a child star advocate, but they going hard on them, man. HBO Max, March 17th. Make sure y'all tune in.
I'm locked in. You already know I'm locked in, bro. I told man, I'm not doing nothing. Leave me alone. You dig, I'm tuned in.
And did we call the reveal? Did we call it?
Yeah, you did call it. Yeah, you did call it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Drake Bell sat down in the chair. We might have talked about it earlier on the podcast, but make sure you guys go check it out because it's going to be earth shatter nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like people, once people see what's really going on, because I don't even know what's going on. I wasn't part of that era of Nickelodeon. Dan Schneider was only there for one of my seasons. He was, I would say, you know, he was intimidating. And I'll be talking about this in some other interviews and probably on the actual documentary. But, you know, I'm excited. And well, actually, I'm just anticipating what they're going to say. I don't know what they're going to say about what happened in the early 2000s. I was there like into the late 90s. So a little bit different era. So it's going to be interesting, man. Quite on the set.
What's on your chest this week?
Word. I mean, wait. Before we get into that, I do want a quick announcement for all the 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes listeners. I am participating. In fact, we are participating in SplatCon 2024, October 19th and 20th in Los Angeles. We need you guys to support the podcast, support 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes Network, the show, the podcast, all that by using our code, our promo code, Vibes10, Vibes25 on SplatCon.com to get your tickets, all right? So that's Vibes10. Vibes25 on SplatCon.com. 10 will get you 10% off tickets. 25 will get you $25 off the hotel package. So if you're coming out of town, come party with us. You're going to have a Saturday night event. It's going to be turned up. But I'm going to get right into my rant. Let me tell you about something that irritates me. It's a lot of ways I could go. I could say Dallas Cowboys. I could say the Cowboys fans, the Cowboys hypes. But right now, I'm going to say Jerry Jones, man. We didn't see every single running back that was eligible go to another team, go to rivals. We seen Eckler get picked up by Washington. We seen Barkley switch over from the Giants to the goddamn Eagles. Man, they switching all over the NFC East. We ain't got no hands in the pot. We ain't doing nothing. We just sitting there. And then Tony Pollard, he didn't left us. He went to the Titans, and then we couldn't even do the switchback and get my guy Derrick Henry. Nah, you're going to let him go to the Ravens, man. I mean, we all in? Are we all – is this what we call all in? Are we – we barely even ball. Like, we ain't even ball in. Like,
trust me, bro. My Saints ain't doing too much better, bro.
But bro, we supposed to be with the $8 billion franchise. They owe us. They owe the fans of the Dallas Cowboys to put out a potential product that could potentially win a Super Bowl. We haven't done. Look, I'm going a little bit too hard. But all I gotta say is, that's to irritate me, Jerry Jones. You'd have irritated the shit out of me, man. I'm upset with the Cowboys. I'm upset with our fandom. I'm upset with everything NFL related. All these look like goddamn Madden. All these damn trades.
Facts.
Going on. We ain't this. You saw who we signed, right?
Nah, who they signed?
We re-signed our long snapper. And they putting it out on the Cowboys Instagram like that's news. And then the joke is, oh, we gonna sign Cat Williams because he can run a 4.9. God damn.
Oh,
like
man.
I was saying, I'm tired of the Cowboys. I'm tired of Jerry Jones. But yeah, that should just irritate me. This is Lee Boy, and this is the 80s, 90s, 2000 Vibes podcast. Make sure you use our damn promo code on splatcon.com. Let's go.
Man, like I said, my sons ain't doing too much. I heard a rumor that we was trying to sign Chase Young, but man, hey, Chase Young, if you do come, can you play quarterback?
Man, I see y'all just dropped, bro. Y'all just dropped Mike Thomas too. He failed the physical.
He washed. I don't care. Bye.
You saw OBJ. They let him go too up at the Ravens. So I mean, it kind of makes sense. They didn't really need him. He didn't do too much. So.
Somebody gonna pick OBJ up, man. I don't know who, but man, yeah, bro. So my Saints ain't far behind you, bro.
What about them Giants though? Y'all just lost Saquon. That was it.
They said they were taking a 10-day.
Like, you know, when you graduate high school, you're like, I'm not going to college. We're taking an off year. We just trying to find ourselves. You know what I mean? We might not even have an offensive line this coming season. We might just have guys, you know, just want to go out there and see what happens.
We'll be joining y'all. So
get rid of that fucking quarterback, man.
Amen.
Yeah, that's where y'all messed up.
He robbed us. He's holding us hostage. Right now.
That's big facts.
But speaking of hostages, fellas, because this may be a similar situation depending on who you ask, I want to dive into Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. The reason why Mike Tyson, y'all, obviously renowned champion and whatnot, has decided to fight Jake Paul July 20th. This is going to go down in, I believe, Arlington, Texas. And obviously the first thing fans were saying is, one, was it going to be real? But fellas, what I want to ask both of y'all is, obviously, lifelong, you know, Tyson fans like myself, is do you, first of all, you're going to watch the fight, and two, with it being on Netflix and whatnot, do you think this affects Tyson's legacy, especially if he were to lose? What you thinking?
Tyson, fuck around and lose if you want, bro. Mike Tyson, I don't give a fuck if it's an exhibition. I don't know if this shit for charity. I don't know what, I really don't care, bro. Mike Tyson, you cannot lose, bro. I don't care. You cannot lose. No. This 100% will affect his legacy if you fucking lose to Jake Paul, bro. When I seen this shit, I was like, Tyson, why? Like, Muhammad Ali would never. What? I ain't gonna say that. Muhammad Ali did some shit like some
he did fight
shit.
Didn't he fight a bear or something?
Right. Yeah, bro.
I think he did. He did some crazy shit in his.
I can't hate on Jake Paul. Jake Paul knocking people niggas out. If he Mike Tyson, if he knock Mike Tyson out, or if he beat Mike Tyson, bro, I'm gonna be so fucking mad, bro. I swear. That's all I'm gonna say, bro.
And look, I don't want to make it racial, but I'm gonna just address the elephant. This is for the black community. I mean, he already did it to our guy Nate Robinson. We was rooting for Nate. Got his ass wild. He got laid down. He got what they call Molly Whopped. He walked him down, all that. You know what I'm saying?
Call it Pacquiao.
Like if Tyson, this is for our community, sir. We cannot let a Disney star, you know, I'm team Nickelodeon right now. Am I? I don't know. We still trying to figure it out. But we cannot lose to the Disney star in Jake Paul, man, because just something about Jake Paul just irks me. It's just hard to be a fan of Jake Paul. I don't have nothing against him, you know, personally or his brand or what he's done. In fact, I would actually applaud that he's taken boxing seriously, been able to put down some serious fighters, especially in the MMA community. And the knock on him that he hasn't fought boxers, I think now he's quelled a little bit of that, but he's absolutely going to quell it with Mike Tyson. I don't care what age he is. If he defeats Mike Tyson, and I have an inkling, I feel like he might do it. I feel like he might do it. He's technical. He's strong. He's young. and he's facing, you know, Mike Tyson and way past his prime. But Mike, please, please, Mike, hold us down, damn, man, for the community, bro.
I'm happy you said that. Deontay Wilder took us back 40 fucking years.
Oh yeah, because I was all behind Deontay, and then he lost to the other Tyson. Tyson Fury made him look silly, man, a couple times, and he blamed it on the Wakanda suit. Come on, Deontay. But yeah, man, it can't be no excuses for Mike Tyson. And I don't expect him to have any excuses. In fact, you know, I expect him to come out ready and putting the paws on him, but something just tells me that Jake Paul's smart, man. He's smart, man. He comes out with a good game plan. He don't look goofy out there at all. So people try to say he doesn't have the experience and he ain't doing this and that. I think he looks pretty good. So I don't know how you guys feel about his actual technical skills.
No, I just want to push this out here. Is that for me, looking at the fight, one, the fact that we even consider it could be a down, you know, for Tyson, who's, what, 55 years old. This is just a testament to Tyson's power. Just want to start there. Epic great, right? That being said, when I think about Floyd Mayweather even fighting a Logan Paul some years back, granted, there's an age discrepancy there. I'm going to be honest. If the fight is real, meaning this is not something that's fixated for Netflix and for views, Tyson can potentially kill this young man, right? However, what the product that I think we're going to see is going to be some of him toying around. Because even, you know, we go back to when Tyson fought Roy Jones Jr. Remember, they called that a draw, and I was pissed because I had money on that fight. And me and the homie, we was looking at each other like, a draw? Like, after we watched Nate Robinson die, now y'all going to call a draw? Like, Tyson clearly, you know, smoked Roy Jones Jr. It's like, credit to Jake Paul. He is training. He's in this series. But I just think, yeah, at some point, we got to call it what it is. Like, this form of entertainment, I think, even to Lee Boy, your point, the first time he fought and Tommy Fury, he lost. You know what I mean? Everybody else, he was fighting MMA guys. And who was the other guy, the black dude from UFC? I know Tyrone Woodley. It was just like, okay, this is cool. But yeah, so it's just like, I'm not huge on it. I'll definitely watch. But if Netflix, I'm telling y'all now, if y'all go up another price hike, I will be watching on somebody else's account.
TikTok is right there, bro. If you just search enough.
Yeah, it's almost out of here too, man.
But you kind of convinced me there, because I forgot he did lose to Tommy Fury, and obviously that is a pretty, you know, that's a trained boxer. And then I got to go back and look at what Tyson did to Roy Jones and really examine that and see how he looked, because I have seen some training videos of Tyson. He looked pretty good, still got a snap, he's still quick, and yeah. So
you let him hit you. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I ain't fucking around. I ain't messing around. But, you know, I do have respect. I do have respect for my guy, both of them, obviously. But, yeah, Jake Paul gets my respect. We're going to see where the cards fall, where the cards fall. But I just want to see that uppercut from Tyson that could get in close. Look, if y'all didn't see it I had a quick uppercut right now. If y'all ain't seeing it in video right now, make sure you sign up for Patreon. The uppercut from Tyson, if he could get in close, and I want to see that next snap back from Jake Paul. I don't know how that's gonna go for him, but has he taken a real punch? I mean, from Tommy Fury, how did that go? Yeah. I can't remember how it ended.
I didn't watch that fight.
He didn't get knocked out. It was just
a decision.
Decision, yeah.
Man, Mike Tyson, you better not fucking lose, bro. I don't care how old you are, fam. I really don't. I swear, dog, if you lose, you're gonna take him back to 1956, son. Don't do it, bro. Please, why are you even fighting Jake Paul, bro? Like, I get it, I guess, but
it's a payday. And on Netflix,
I do want to see the rules, though, to your point, because I remember that Tyson, when he fought, Mike Tyson fought Roy Jones Jr., there were rules. I believe, like, he wasn't able to, like, basically fully punch him in the face kind of thing. Right. So I am curious to see what the rules are for this, because, again, I think that would definitely show us, is this entertainment, or are they really going to let bro go loose and we really see who's top dogs?
I'm going to definitely be tuned in, though.
And I'm getting a little bit annoyed because I've been seeing, obviously, we know, or I've been hearing actually just this year, the NFL is an entertainment company. NBA came out saying that they're an entertainment company as well. And now, you know, with what's going on with Jake Paul, it just seems like a whole lot of entertainment. Sports just ain't the same. So hopefully they could stay true to the sport and really give us an actual competition, not just a show. So I'm, you know, I'm anticipating that to see what is really going to go down and see if Tyson, you know, if he could take a punch still, which I believe he can, he should be all right. He should be all right. Now, if Jake Paul just come out with a whole strategy where he's running away and tagging him, we'll see. I think he might have, you think he have a little bit more quickness than Tyson? I don't know. We'll see.
So y'all tuned in, right?
I'm in there. I got it. In fact, I want to go to Dallas. I ain't gonna lie. I want to go to Dallas because this is in my stadium, quote unquote. I just got done killing the Cowboys. But yeah, I love Dallas. I love the stadium, the whole experience. So I was considering, look, let me just go out there. Even if I don't have tickets to the event, I would love to be around. So I'm gonna definitely be tuned in.
But the nostalgic vibes, Tyson, Jake Paul, if y'all listening, it's only three of us. We can pull up.
Hey, holla at us.
And Tyson, you better not lose, my nigga. That's all I got to say about that.
I'm about to say, Jamal going to be waiting right outside. If you lose, he going to be like,
this hell is... Hell nah, I ain't say all that.
Nah, he ain't outside. Nah, we ain't outside. None of that.
Nah,
I'm
going to be complaining from the comfort of my own home, son. Tyson, you got it, big dog. I'm going to talk shit from my house, bro.
I respect it. In fact, just put the weed down for, you know, at least 2 weeks before the fight. Just be level-headed, quick, and quick-witted, all right? We'd appreciate that. Thank you, Tyson.
Thanks.
Looking forward to it, fellas. But wanting to keep the sports theme going, fellas, Undisputed. Obviously, to the fans listening, Undisputed, once upon a time, was much more prominent in the culture. Obviously, with Stephen A. Smith, and then following that, you had Shannon Sharp, but now Skip Bayless, some people are pretty much saying he's at a standstill point because the show is not doing well. And another very interesting tidbit, fellas, this week is that Paul Pierce is set to join after we had guys like Keyshawn Johnson, Richard Sherman. Fellas, one, why do you think Undisputed is not doing well? And two, what do you think about this acquisition of Paul Pierce?
The fact that Paul Pierce is joining is just proof that the show's not doing well. Nah, real tough, real shit. Think about it. When Shannon was on the show, when it was Skip and Shannon, who fucked in the middle of the show just joined? No. You had guests, but other than that, bro, guests every once in a while, it was Shannon and Skip. The show not doing good, bro, because I like Keyshawn's show on ESPN before with him, Max, and what's the guy, bro? What's bro name, bro, from Duke? Used to be Duke point guard.
Jason Williams. Jay Williams.
Jay Williams, Max, and Keyshawn, bro. That show was a vibe. To me, they gel together better. I don't know why they canceled that show. Sherman, the reason why I think it's failing, bro, because Sherman and them, they are actual football analysts. And I'm not saying Shannon wasn't. But Shannon was more entertaining, and Skip is not entertaining. Skip is more of a shock job, anything, bro. That's the difference between him and Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith is entertaining. That's why First Take First Take with Skip, Stephen A. and what's her name, bro? Carrie Champion. That's when the show was in its prime, bro, because Skip is the more serious shock jock and Stephen A was the entertainment part. The same with Undisputed. Shannon Sharp was the entertainment. Skip was the shock jock. Because ain't no way Skip believes some of this shit he be saying. So the reason
lying about that.
I ain't going to say it's failing. It's not doing good because nobody... Again, Sherman, Michael Irvin, and Keyshawn are sports analysts / former NFL players. They not really entertaining, bro. And Skip is not really entertaining. Skip just say wild shit. And it don't balance itself out. That's why they add Paul Pierce. It don't balance. And Paul Pierce bring an NBA dynamic to it because all three of those people I just named are NFL players. So none of them Shannon Sharp entertainment-wise, bro. It just that's why it's failing. Finding out the hard way.
And that's what I was going to say. They pretty much based the entire show off the NFL with Michael Irvin, who we say Keyshawn Johnson and Richard Sherman. And And not only that, but also just all on the hate or love for the Cowboys. It just seems like everything's positioned around the Cowboys and the Lakers. I love the Lakers. Right. But, you know, Keyshawn Johnson is a L.A. native. Richard Sherman is a Laker fan. And then, obviously, with Michael Irvin, he's a Cowboys fan. And him, it's everything is just based on LeBron hate, Cowboy love.
Right.
And it's like, where are we really going with this? There was no NBA analyst or anything that they really thought of from the beginning. And then again, with their choice with Paul Pierce, it's just kind of based on LeBron hate. They're going to be talking about LeBron and hating on LeBron. And what can they say about LeBron every day? Now, this is great ratings, but it is very, you know, it's shock jockish and also just very contrived and predictable. I mean, these are the words that kind of come to mind. We already know what Skip gonna say. He's not Jordan. He's come on, man. How many different ways can we really say this? So I really think Skip is just at the end of his rope. Like they should allow him to produce a show and maybe come up with some talking points. I think that could be better for a Max Kellerman or for someone else that could have taken his spot. But obviously, you know, he's still in his, you know, he's still in his element. He's still able to lead a TV show, so they're going to allow him to do that. But if it was me, I would have picked Shannon Sharp. I would have picked Shannon Sharp over Skip. I think that's a big mistake. They should have at least separated them and allowed Shannon Sharp to do his own show. But they didn't make the right choice there, and now we're kind of seeing the results of it. As far as, you know, what's to come for the show, they waiting for the football season. That's it.
Bro,
this show is no good without the Cowboys doing good, bad, or indifferent. It don't matter what the Cowboys do. If the Cowboys aren't on TV, they really don't have nothing. Skip don't have nothing without the Cowboys except for hating on LeBron. He used to love Kawhi. Remember he used to love Kawhi? You can't love Kawhi. No, ain't nothing out there for him. So he's just scrambling right now.
Bro, and Paul Pierce, instead of having one nigga who say stupid shit, now you're going to have two niggas who say stupid shit. To me, Gilbert Arenas is more entertaining than Paul Pierce. That's who I would have threw the bag at. But I don't know if Gilbert Arenas want to do that show because he got his own shit going. Gilbert Arenas is way more entertaining than Paul Pierce. He was a better player. I ain't going to say better player, but for a time he was.
He didn't have a better career. He might be a better player. Maybe.
Right.
It's close,
right.
But he didn't have a better career.
Well, nobody – and Paul Pierce not going to – people who don't like Paul Pierce takes, and Paul Pierce ain't going to make people watch that fucking show. And I don't watch it – bro, I watch Skip Bayless' podcast by himself. It's more entertaining than Undisputed. Mm-hmm. And we all know Club Shay Shay popping. And Nightcap, Shannon Sharp was the star, bro. Skip, bro, y'all made a mistake letting him go, bro. And I'm pretty sure Skip Bayless is prideful, stubborn. He refused to think that they made a mistake. He made a mistake, bro. Shannon Sharp about to be the black Joe Rogan out here, bro. So
I got a hot take. I just want to throw out there, mainly because Paul Pierce. Now, I'm going to be real with y'all. Like I said, I think overall, most people aren't tuned in to hear what Paul Pierce is going to say. However, my thinking is that this is actually a smart move for the simple fact that we've watched Cameron and Mace do what they've done with, you know, their show. It is what it is. If I'm Skip Bayless, knowing that I'm on the way out and quote unquote trying to reinvent myself, I'm going straight to my mind thinking of when Paul Pierce wowed out and got fired from ESPN. It's like, call it what you want, but it was entertaining. And I think Paul Pierce, him coming in there, just maybe, even though they obviously both have that quote unquote hate part for LeBron, I think Paul Pierce is going to come in as more of an entertainment, because even when I hear him on Garnett, it's like he's coming in from an analyst perspective, but a lot more is the entertainment part, which is why it's funny to see Garnett get on his ass like, man, these young niggas are fry you, blah, blah, blah. So I think it'll be interesting. I definitely think the show is dead in the water for years to come, but I'm not mad at the move. And
think about it. It's more players. It's more people I would have thought of to add before him. I already said Gilbert Arenas, Jalen Rose.
Well, those people you mentioned, I can tell you why they're not going to go there. It's like Gilbert, for instance, if I'm not mistaken, he already has a deal in place with like another network because he has Underdog Fantasy, so he doesn't have a need. Right. And then Jalen Rose, too. If I'm and plus remember Jalen Rose and Skip, they had that whole debacle. Like,
yeah, they don't, yeah, I mean, like, but so did him and Richard Sherman. Remember Richard Sherman said, you failed at life. I'm more,
but you know what the difference is? Richard Sherman was never established in that space as a commentator, whereas Jalen Rose was, and he was good at it. I think it's more of a threat, right? Because Jalen Rose, he looking like you're established. Richard Sherman, you're not. So I can bring you in worst case scenario, I can just move you to the wayside. Whereas Jalen Rose, people want him still, to me. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, Skip moved like a master, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? He tried to bring on people that he could control, that he could shit on. He tried to shit on Shannon, but it was a little bit too late. You and he already was up here, bro, and you tried to bring him down, and it just wasn't working. But you see, you know, he does it to Richard Sherman still, and they kind of go at it. I watched the show. I don't think it's too bad. But I don't think Keyshawn, he's not the same on Undisputed, like you said, compared to how he was with Jay and Max. So it just ain't working. It's just not entertaining. I agree with you, though. I agree with you, though, Matt, that Paul Pierce is a wild card. He's a wild card. Mate, he might be doing something on a Saturday, Sunday night. They're going to be talking about on during the week. And so hopefully that'll bring some light to the show and he'll have to address some things. I think that's what they're betting on because it's not his takes. It's not his mouth game. It's not his mouthpiece.
Oh,
it's his off the field or off camera.
Bro, it's other sports shows. I remember, bro, when Undisputed first started, Undisputed was the sports show everybody. It's other sports shows that you go to first. First Take, Cam'ron and Mace. Gilbert Arenas, Carmelo got his own podcast. So what it's called, 7 p.m. in Brooklyn.
Yeah. You already said Nightcap before, and then
Nightcap. It's so many other sports shows.
There's other guys who
have. Nobody checking for Undisputed like that no more. Boy,
I even like Darius Miles and who? Quentin Richardson, don't they got a show? And then obviously Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes got
Smoke
his show.
And Steve Jackson, right.
Paul George and Jackie.
And yeah, that's what I'm seeing.
Paul
but
George,
bro,
the football boys, they sit down too. I can't think of their names right now, but it's a couple. Of
and you got the Trenches show on Joe Budden podcast network. Bro, it's other sports shows I go to before I go to Undisputed, bro. And it never used to be like that. And it's probably because of the climate that we in. But man, that show, bro. I ain't gonna say it's not entertaining. It just you got comp now, and you let go of the stuff.
I watch, and every day it's a Laker clip or a Cowboy clip. Like,
but bro,
if they hating on LeBron, like every day it's we on LeBron wagon or we off the LeBron wagon, and then just disappointed in the Cowboys. That's what's going on at least right now. But I just expect that to happen year round. And then that's the only reason I watch it is because I am invested in those teams. But for anyone else, I don't know why you would watch Skip Bayless.
But keep it a stack. It's been like that for years. It's always been LeBron, Tom Brady, Cowboys. But you had Skip need somebody on the other side of him that's entertaining.
That's true.
Stephen A. Smith, Shannon Sharp. Bro, they talk about the same topics for years. Tom Brady, the Cowboys, the Lakers, LeBron. But it's just the entertain. It's the character. Shannon Sharpe is a character, bro.
Goat James.
Yeah, he coming with the goat mask and the black and miles and the durag. Come on, bro. Come on, Stephen A. Smith, the character. Stephen A. Smith has been a character, bro.
Right,
bro. It's not working because Skip think he's a star, and he's not. He was when it was when it was cold pizza. When it was cold pizza, he probably was a star in 2005. But. Right. 20 years ago,
yeah. I personally like Max way better. And then, what's the old dude too that's on the show with Broussard? I can't think of his name right now, but I like those shows a little bit. I like
Nick. I like Nick too.
Right? He should have taken over. That's the person that I would have probably chosen to take
Undisputed. Or at least go against him if he's not gonna take the spot.
Because he likes LeBron and he also likes the Lakers, so that would have made more sense. I actually thought that they were gonna put them together, and then I also like Speak though with Acho, what's my guy name from the Bills and everything? I can't think of it right now. But yeah, they got some shit going on. LeSean McCoy, my bad.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
Not
yeah,
like
Skip, you ain't got it no more, big dog. It happens to the best of us, though. It's the mother nature.
We definitely will see. But fellas, moving on, I want to dive into some entertainment. And I believe we have a clip regarding Steve Stout and Dame Dash this week.
All right. The clip y'all about to hear is from Club Shay Shay. He recently did an interview with Steve Stout. And let me say, I'm about to be biased as fuck. I am a Dame Dash fan. I fucks with Dame. I don't want to hear no negative shit about Dame. That's why I stand. And this is Jamal Adams telling you that. So before y'all listen to this little clip, I just want to let y'all know y'all got Dame fucked up. Team Dame all the way. But I'm not even going to lie. Steve Stout may have made some points. You know what I'm saying? Just because I'm biased, that don't mean I'm illogical. So let's see. Y'all keep talking while she gets a clip.
I just like how Jamar called it this little clip. You know, that's how you know you hating her. Clip about to come out. You know what I'm saying? But Dame Dash just catch a lot of smoke, a lot of hate. I will say that I'm gonna be on the That's Fucked Up podcast coming up this week. He went pretty viral on that podcast, Dame Dash did. So hopefully I can follow that up with a little something. I ain't expecting to be Dame, but let's hear what Steve Stout had to say about my
clubs.
Guy.
Club Shay Shay.
You rock with Dame Dash, Matt?
Of course. I like that. But I got to see what Steve Stout talking about.
Shout out to Dame, man. Hit us up, man. 80s, 90s, 2000 Facts. Vibes. We need some of that Dame magic.
Facts. All right.
That's all. Just five words. And if you pronounce them wrong, man, it can mean you're in danger of memory.
Even the Dame and Dash interview, as fucked up as that was, he's a gigantic, almost not. He blew it. He had Jay-Z. He had the most important artist of a generation.
So what happened with that relationship? How did that relationship that was so good sour so fast?
Dame's antics were just, it became like people also over time, you mature. Right. It's like you didn't have friends at 16, but by the time you turned 19, they were still doing the same shit that you were 16. Right, and you're right, like, right. I can't. Point. You start spending less and less time with them because of it. It's like one of those things where Dame wouldn't change. The way he spoke to people, the way he treated people, he was angry.
About what? Bro, you getting paper.
He was angry because he had a strong perspective about his business philosophy, and if any time a partner of theirs tried to like go around him or meanwhile people weren't going around him, the people around him wanted to meet with other people.
Right.
People were becoming less beholden to him, but he was unaware of it. Then he would like, you know, while he was building businesses, which partly he was, he would go off all around the world with cameras and girls and all kinds of crazy shit, and then come back flipping out on everybody as if, you know,
they were wrong.
Yeah. Or like, why'd you guys do all this shit without me? Like, bro, you didn't build a business that was so operationally tight that you could just go away and come back and shit be the same and all that shit. It wasn't even like that. Jay grew up, you know, Jay wanted more. I think Jay seen Dame's ceiling. I mean, I think that's really what it was. I mean,
all right, fellas.
Wow. I mean, is it just easy to pick on Dame? He's just an easy target because he fell out with Rockefeller because of the success of Jay-Z. It's easy to point at him and say, look, you messed up. When in actuality, he had a big role in actually, you know, the success of Rockefeller and all this. And I think that he's just an easy target and people try to discredit him because of his persona, so on and so forth. But he really was fighting for the dream. He was really fighting for being independent. And I believe without him, I'm not sure that Rockefeller and Jay-Z are who they are, but go ahead. I know this is close to you, Jamar.
Yeah. At this point, taking shots at Dame is low hanging fruit, bro. Everybody takes shots at Dame. I was a kid, so I grew up a Rockefeller fan. Jay-Z, one of my favorite rappers. Rockefeller, one of my favorite labels, right? So, of course, I wasn't around, but I will say this: I'm pretty sure from now to then, I'm gonna ask y'all: do it seem like Dame Dash grew up? Do y'all hear Dame Dash speak?
Yes.
Now, exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But that's my point. Exactly. He's grown up, bro. He just don't grow up probably the way you want him to grow up. But like you said, D-Boy, he was protecting the dream. And I'm pretty sure he was a little edgier. He was a little edgier when he was younger. You know what I'm saying? So, and I relate to that. But, dog, it wouldn't be no Jay-Z without Dame Dash, bro. I'm sick of everybody taking shots at Dame, bro. Dame a real nigga. And I don't know Dame, but from outside looking in, Jay-Z, Dame, if I had to choose who would I go do business with or who would I let mentor me or teach me the game, it would be Dame. I still listen to Jay-Z. I'm always listening to Jay-Z, but I don't think I'm built the same as Jay-Z. I think I'm built closer to Dame, pause. And that's the nigga who came up with the pause. Like, dog, his ceiling. Like, bro, the nigga Dame still hustling. He's still popping. Because you wouldn't be talking about him if he wasn't. And I respect Steve Stout, bro. Steve Stout a legend in himself. I'm just saying, the shots at Dame, that shit whack. Because all of y'all are still close to Jay-Z. What I don't like is, okay, Rockefeller is over. Whatever. Everybody move on. The fact that they try to block him from still getting money to this day or do petty shit to try to stop him from getting money, that's the part I don't like. What's your take on it, bro?
I want to throw this out here first thought, and I don't know how true this is, but first off, I heard that Steve Stout may be Jay-Z's cousin, so to me, I just feel like, one, everything that you're saying low-key is going to sound biased, taking that into
consideration. Exactly.
Two, I think that considering the relationship and rapport that he's had with Dame Dash over the years, it's a little corny now to go and Shannon Sharp sitting in his car and Dame Dash pops up right in the conversation because, one, he's still working on his own thing, and two, to my knowledge, Dame Dash ain't saying nothing about Steve Stash publicly. Like, this is somebody who you have his phone number. And then just to my last point, just as far as Dame Dash, I feel like the way he built the business, even Steve Stout saying, you know, oh, he dropped the ball, this, that, and the third. It's like, you can say that and feel like that, but at the same time, you know, Dame had original flavor, and Dame Dash has went on to produce movies and things like that. So his track record, I feel like, is just as proven. So to me, it was only a little corny just because, like, yeah, Steve Stout, y'all got rapport. You could have called him. And like you said, Jamal, throwing shots at Dame Dash after a while gets corny because it's like, what are y'all gaining from this? Because he's not throwing shots at nobody. He's just speaking his truth. Y'all the ones coming from him. He doesn't actively say anybody's name.
Bro, and it's because he left the, just because he left the music business, that don't make him a failure.
Not at all.
He started other businesses since Rockefeller, bro. That was 2005.
Clothing, entertainment. Didn't he do cookies? All kind of
shit. Sales cookies. I remember that in the Breakfast Club. Yeah, that was
Man, bro. All that, bro. They all, everybody's scared of Jay-Z. That's all it is.
So look, and that's my thing is Dame Dash, and this is kind of you know, a good segment, or actually really follows what I did on Quiet on Set, and then also starting Child Star Reboot, Child Star Central. I aspire to be like Dame Dash. You know what I'm saying? Right. I don't think that I even have that within me to be as outspoken and upfront as Dame Dash. I think there's one name that comes to mind. To me, and in fact, there's two comparisons that I want to draw out to Dame Dash, because I just think he's vilified, but there's a couple other people that don't get quite as vilified, but they actually do in different ways. And I'll bring them up. Kanye West, yeah. I think he is definitely comparable to a Kanye West, but more professional, more pointed than a Kanye, where Kanye, you know, he admits he's bipolar, he does his bipolar thing, he just started talking and started going crazy. Whereas Dame Dash actually has a focus and he has a goal with, you know, when he makes statements. So I think, you know, he reminds me of that spirit. And then there's a Diddy. Before all these allegations, nobody was saying Diddy was doing this and crazy. Diddy was doing everything. He was partying, having fun, made it look good, and was leading the label. And Diddy was, you know, someone that we looked up to in the community. And Dame Dash was very similar to that, except for he's been getting, you know, he's been getting flack for like the last 10 years. Nobody was ever putting him on a Diddy level. So I think he's a good, you know, a mixture of those two. And like I said, somebody that I actually would aspire to be as far as his ability to speak up for himself, call out people that are on some bullshit, because this industry is full of it. We don't see Steve Stout calling out anybody except for Dame Dash, right? He ain't calling out the people that's actually controlling shit and stopping and gatekeeping and all that. That is Dame Dash's position. So I'm going to always give him some slack there. Because I do believe it does take a certain type of mentality to be able to do that, i.e. Kanye, except for he's just a little bit more direct, pointed, and astute with it. So shout out to Dame, man. And, you know, like I said, holla at us, man. Holla at us, bro. We ready.
Yeah, I'm definitely the type that's going to get on a nigga ass. Pause. Like, bro, when I was younger, he never intimidated me. Meaning, when I was younger and I seen Dame screaming on people, I was always of that cloth of, well, he must be doing it for a reason, bro. I don't think he's just screaming at people just to scream. I'm going to assume if you didn't give him a reason to get on your ass, pause, he wouldn't. Stop all that fuck shit and all that snake shit behind people's back. This is my fucking regulator. Not mine. It's us three. It's me, Jay, and Biggs. So, of course, I'm protecting and fighting my brand. But I think Dame trusted, I don't know if this is a bad thing. He probably trusted Jay-Z too much, all the people around him. But he's supposed to.
Loyalty is real. Yeah, well, he has split, loyalty. Right.
It split everything. You know, it was three ways. So when I look at what Dame was doing, to your point, Jamal, I feel like people get mad and say, oh, Dame was yelling. But I look at it like, okay, well, if he wasn't yelling and protecting stuff, like even Memphis Bleek mentioned in that sit down with Nori, it's like, yeah, you kind of still need a guy to do that. You need somebody that's stern. You, because if
man,
you
got, man, I ain't mean to cut you off. He pissed me off. Memphis Bleek sounded like a whole fucking employee on that Drink Champs interview. Like, bro, of course you can say that because Memphis Bleek and Jay-Z still are cool, close, right? Of course you can say that. That's like the little dude on the playground who want to talk shit because he got 10 niggas waiting to jump you if you say something back to him. That shit corny, man. That shit is whack. And Memphis Bleek, you ain't never sold no fucking records. Fuck out of here. Fucking Memphis Bleek.
Meanwhile, Dame Dash over here pretty much signed Jay, or at least signed him to the streets. Got Cameron on, got Kanye on. These are huge names, and look, Jay-Z would never have been able to make these type of connections without Dame. Let's just keep people ain't rocking with Jay-Z like that on a one-on-one in New York on a street basis. None of that. They ain't signing to Jay-Z. You see who he signed? He signed Rihanna. He signed Tierra Marie, Neo. You know what I'm saying?
J. Cole is the only rapper. If you really think about J. Cole, the only person who's been signed and who hasn't had no issues. It's not to the label, but it's just to go to show you, to your point, Dame Dash dropped for it.
And them early years of Rockefeller, besides Jay-Z, signing Cameron was the best thing to happen to Rockefeller in the early Rockefeller years. Because it sure wasn't no fucking Memphis Bleek.
But and Dame was integral in all the state property signings too, right? Yes. Yeah, no, they all rock with
Dame. He was the one who believed in Kanye as an artist.
We don't get this without Dame Dash. Literally.
I heard allegedly the reason why it took a while for Ye to come out is because Jay-Z didn't want to sign off on it. Because Dame, Biggs, and Jay-Z all had to sign off on shit. And he didn't want to sign off on Kanye.
No, we seen that in the Genius documentary. And then, you know, I've been thinking about it because me and my girl been debating about Kanye, and because his album is so good. His album is so good, and he's going through a lot right now. He just put out a statement that Adidas is still messing with. He's still going against Adidas, which is fine, I guess. He need Dame Dash right now, bro. He needs Dame Dash to be his manager. Kanye need to stop talking on these damn... You're the artist, man. Yeah. Get off the Instagram. Allow Dame Dash to take over your business once again. And I guarantee. I can't guarantee. I'm just sitting right here.
But him and Dame Dash are still close. They still close.
Dame need to handle his business, man. Because Kanye is doing big business, got a number one record right now. And Dame, he's the same mouthpiece as Kanye. He's just a little bit smarter, man.
And he's always giving Kanye grace. I want to throw that out there, too, that when Kanye, quote, unquote, was crazy, even Cameron's mentioned it that year, Dan was the one saying, you know, Kanye got mental health issues. And they was like, man, we ain't trying to hear that. And it's like, yeah, at the end of the day, if that is the case, yeah, sometimes we just asking too much of people that ain't part of their job description. Like, Kanye's not, just because he's famous doesn't mean he got to be your politician. You know,
he don't need to be talking. He tried to be a politician. Should I put that up? I actually voted for Kanye. Hey, look, I ain't vote for Trump or Biden, so I could put that on my. You can put that on my jacket. That's my jacket. I ain't vote for neither one of them. I voted for Kanye, and I got the video proof. I knew he wasn't gonna win. It's California though. He wasn't gonna win, but it is.
You said that, bro. When I was in the booth, I did for a couple seconds. I was like,
you saw. I was really. His name was on there.
I was like, Jamal, man.
And yo, but he threw it for a loop because he was a vice president. He said he was going for president. He was listening to the vice president under some nigga named Rocky. I didn't know who that was. It was a random candidate with Kanye. I'm like, man, I ain't voting for Trump or Biden. So just so y'all know where I stand, I voted for Kanye. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to do it again,
it.
Though.
I thought about it.
You need a third party, man. I'm reaching. We need a third party.
I stared at the Kanye name for about 15 seconds.
I'm going to send out the picture. I'm going to tweet it this week so y'all can see. I ain't lying. I ain't bullshit.
I'm not I'm bad at that vote. I'll be honest with you. I approve. Not mad at it.
Yeah, but Steve, stop, man. All due respect, man. I respect you, bro. Man, stop, man. Y'all leave Dame Dash alone, man. He ain't bothering none of y'all. He doing his own thing.
Seriously. Yeah, but like I said, hopefully, like I said, fellas, we'll see in time. Maybe, you know, they can, you know, refocus and figure that out because at the end of the day, Rockefeller was a family. But a very interesting part of this show I want to get to because this is something I've been looking forward to. Nostalgic trivia. I'm going to toss this one to you and let you take over. What you got for us?
Now, some episodes back, I can't remember how many episodes back, we did some nostalgic trivia. We're still trying to get this trivia game made, y'all. So we tested it out on the listeners. We're going to go first to three instead of five. Lee Boy versus Matt Corbin. Nostalgia trivia, first to three wins. This is all fun. This is all lighthearted, man. Ain't nothing
I swear, serious. When you look down, I flex too. That's
cool. I know, I seen it. I seen that. I got to flex back, man.
Who won last time? Matt won last time?
I think I won one.
Yeah. Okay. Then I got
it. Close. I remember it was down to the wire.
All right. So first to three nostalgia trivia. Let's see. How many Grammy Awards does Beyonce have?
Damn.
Fuck no.
I know. Well, look. Let me start off by saying, I'm going to give an answer. I know it's the most ever without, she ain't ever won the big award, never won album of the year. I know it's got to be in the 20s. Is it in the 30s?
I got my guess.
All right, yes. I'm going to put out a guess. I'm going to say 24.
Nah.
I was going to say 26.
Nah, it's one more guess for each one of y'all, then I'm going to give you a guess.
All right, I'm going to say 31.
Nah.
Yeah, no.
27.
Nope. No, Beyonce, how many Grammys does Beyonce have? Beyonce has 32 total Grammy awards. It was all about one. Yeah. So Beyonce has the most ever with 32. All right. Name OutKast's second album.
Oh, we fucked up. We supposed to say that one right off the bat.
I'm trying to think of my years right now.
What was saying first? Name OutKast's second album.
I got the name. I got the picture of the album too. I just can't get
y'all, that. Y'all overthink it. Just say a name. say an album name.
It's not Aquemini. It's after that.
Stink so, of me.
No. Southern and Matt, yours was a Quimini?
Yeah.
No. Lee Boy, what's yours? Set the playlist.
Yeah.
Nah, that's the first album. AT Aliens is the answer.
I'll take it.
Southern Playalistic is their first album. AT Aliens is the second one, which released in the year of, I don't fucking know. Let's see what year AT Aliens released. One of their best albums. AT Aliens.
Yeah, we supposed to know that, man. I ain't gonna lie. I should have knew that right off the bat.
AT Aliens released.
Early releases, the years. I'd be like, what year was that?
Yeah, that's where I'd be fucked up. AT Aliens released
in 1996. So Lee Boy got the first point. All right.
I'll take it.
How many albums did Tupac release under Death Row Records?
Two.
And technically.
So even after his death, I'm going to say three.
Yeah. Let me tell you why, Matt. It's on the tech. All Eyes on Me is a double album.
Okay.
And okay. then you got Don Caluminati, 7 Day Theory.
Mm-hmm.
It's the double album. It's that album. That's the album. Technically, how many albums he released under Death Row?
That's a technicality. I'll take it. It ain't supposed to be easy, man. It's supposed to be technical.
Yo, no, I got that as a hard question. I think you won, bro.
No, that's two. Neither one of us got Outkast, I don't think.
Yeah, right? The first one, neither one of us got. He got the last
one. Oh, no, I got AT Aliens. What was the first one?
That was the first one.
So that was just the second question, yeah, right?
Nobody got Beyonce.
Yeah. All right, so one more.
See, I want to go to four or five.
No, I just got two. It's two zip. I didn't get Beyonce.
Oh yeah, it's first to three. I'm tripping. My bad. Yeah, my fault. All right. Let's see what else I got for y'all.
Hey, Mac is still coming back. Come on, Mac. I'm rooting for you. Just for one more answer, I need that three.
Yo, you jerked me with that one. Like I said, it is what it is.
Yeah. It could have been 1-1, but I'll take it. Look, double.
What is the name? What is the name of the main character in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas?
CJ.
2-1.
Okay. Yeah, you got it. You got it.
All right. What rapper proclaimed himself as the king of the South?
T.I.
Man. Well, we have a winner.
I remember that one. Hey, who was Franklin? He wasn't in San Andreas in my trivia.
That's in four, right? Or five?
That's in five.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, man. I thought you was gonna answer that one quicker than the king of the South. I don't know why.
It was like I heard it and it was like, oh, I knew he knew it as soon as, you know what I mean, one of those. But yeah, good match. Come back with coming.
Yes, okay, sir. Well, we even now. You got the first one.
One. I respect it.
We're gonna be right back in April, y'all. We gonna finish this out.
Exactly. Talk to the listeners, man. We're gonna do nostalgia trivia every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? Something light, something different. And it's 1-1 right now. Matt and Lee Boy both won a game of trivia, nostalgia trivia. So that's what it is, man.
Hey, this might have to be premiered at SplatCon, man. We might have to have a little card game ready. That might be the time, man. It's hard, bro.
But hold on, I'm glad you said that. When I tell you, my nigga, I ain't know with so many fucking gatekeepers when it comes to making fucking trivia games.
Oh, yeah,
it's crazy, bro. I just want to get a trivia game made, bro. I can't get no help and no info from nobody. Black people fucking get on. I love being black, bro. I love being black, dog.
That remind me of that post. Didn't you repost that post this week on Master P page?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, black people get on. Bro, if you know somebody who can get a trivia game made, let me know.
I might know somebody. Damn. It's a game show called You Don't Know Black. I believe they are also and so it's pretty dope because it's just black facts, whether it's like history or modern music, science. It could be anything. And you, it's basically every person is a black person. Hopefully, you know who they are. Right. So they have a show that they've invited me to in New York. They just told me I got to get up there myself. I'm like, I don't live out there. You can fly me out. I'll come out. But I do think they are working on a game. So I'll holler at them. Let's see if we can get them involved and put out an 80s, 90s, and 2000 game. We got to have the game. But we got to have our own con. I've been thinking about it with SplatCon. We need the 80s, 90s, and 2000 vibe con, but that's for another day. We're going to have to premiere this game at the SplatCon, man, this year.
Yeah, somebody help us out. God damn, bro. Bro, that'll be so fun to play it at SplatCon. Oh, fuck it. If we all... This brand is based on people pretty much 25 and up. So, at our age group, if you married with a couple, y'all having a game night at the crib, you and the wife, get a drink, play some of the starter trivia, have some friends over, bro, we all grown. Help us make this game. Lead us in the right direction so we can make this game. That's all we ask.
Seriously, that's it. The door open. Yeah. You willing to put in the work? Say he's very creative. We got more challenging questions, y'all, and it covers everything. So if you a person, you feel like, oh, I didn't watch this show or that show, there's definitely something.
And then once we make the game, we can make other versions later. We can make a drink version. We can make a 90s sitcom version. We can make a hip-hop version, an R&B version. But we got to get the original first game made first just to see how I sell, see how I do.
That's a fact.
Yes, sir.
Please keep supporting. But fellas, keeping it up on entertainment, moving on past the trivia, Northwest. Now, obviously, to those listening, Northwest, we are talking about Kanye West's daughter. Recently, I believe it was a show during their tour, Vultures 2 and whatnot. This was in Phoenix, and she went on stage to announce that, obviously, after her single, she's been still busy in the studio, and she is set to drop her debut album, Elementary School Dropout. Fellas.
That's so dope.
What do y'all think about Northwest debut album coming out?
This your bestie, Miss Westie. Hey. Ooh, she got the flow. Okay, Miss Westie.
Bro, she is her daughter's. I'm tripping. She is her father's daughter for real, son. Mm-hmm. She even look like that nigga. If you really look at her, look at her, bro. This is hella creative. I hope it's dope. I like the song with her, Kanye, Ty Dolla $ign.
Talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro. Late, bro. This is creative. That's all I gotta say. I'll give it a chance. What y'all think?
I mean, the messaging behind Elementary School Dropout is questionable. Very questionable. I'm not sure that, you know, I'm gonna tell my kids exactly what that means or why she's saying it or if it's an option in their lives, because it's not right. Like, that's the only question I have. This is highly questionable whether you want to be promoting to kids that they could drop out of school and be Northwest, because you can't. You're not Kanye West's daughter. You're not Kim Kardashian's daughter, and you're not an industry quote unquote darling, because she's going to have to go through some stuff herself just based on, you know, the history of her parents. But I mean, overall, I love to see Kanye go ahead and cultivate his daughter's talent, because she clearly wants to be out there, you know, with her, you know, whether it's doing TikToks with Ice Spice or, you know, makeup tutorials, whatever she do. And, you know, now rapping on tracks. She clearly has a knack for, you know, gaining an audience and wanting to perform. So I love to see, in general, people put invest into their kids. And it's important to, you see Jay-Z doing it already too with Blue. Just going ahead and starting them up financially. You can pay your children, and that's a tax write-off for you, right? And then you can start to get their credit. So by the time they turn 18, credit on 9,000, you know what I'm saying? It's only 850 limit, but they own 10,000 already. You know what
I'm
saying?
Y'all don't see the next generation clash between Ivy Blue and Northwest? Y'all don't see that?
Yeah.
Y'all
just got it. I hope they just collab now so they can.
Facts.
Please don't make it, because it's going to be a beef. It's going to be a beef between them two.
But somebody in the comments said, can't wait for 808 lunch breaks. I'm like, oh shit, that's the next album.
That's 808 lunch
breaks. That is, bro. Come on, son. That's so odd. Name an episode with that shit, bro. That shit.
That no, yeah, that's the name bro. Of this episode, man. 808 lunch. 808 break.
Lunch breaks.
God oh, damn.
I'm dying, bro.
Shout out
I'm
to dying. That. Shout out to the commenter. Shout out to anybody support 80s, 90s, 2000 vibes. Keep coming with them fire comments because 808 lunch breaks is hilarious and it's a worthy. Successor to elementary school dropout, so I'm ready. I think she gonna be all right. I don't think she's like crazy. She ain't T.I.'s daughter. T.I. ain't Tiny daughter. Y'all heard what's her name? Lil Matt, huh?
She can sing.
Yeah, she can sing. Okay. She been at like a Hawks game singing national anthems and stuff like that. But it's the 5-year old. Whatever the little smallest one. She going crazy. But a lot of them have talent. A lot of them have talent. You know, I think her talent is subtle. It's all right. You know, she's going to continue to cultivate. But the same thing, you could say the same thing about Kanye. He wasn't no crazy rapper. Like, he was crazy on the beats. But as far as his vocal talent and his ability to rap, it's so-so. But he has the vision. He can put stuff together. He's a real producer. He's a real producer. Right. So if he's bringing up... what's the girl name? Northwest? Anything like him? She gonna be all right. She gonna make some money. She gonna make some waves out here. So
now, yeah, I want to throw it out there too, just because y'all mentioned it. I like the fact that Northwest one, she ain't cursing, so the music, you know what I mean, it matches her age. And then two, when I look at it, because some people like, even like I said, the title. I think the title is comedy, just for the simple fact that yeah, she's a kid at the end of the day. And nothing. I think his name is like Little RT or whatever. There was a video of this boy. He got to be like 8, maybe 9 years old. He's smacking an act. Club, you know what I mean? Of this stripper. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't care how corny Northwest is. If this is what she's doing compared to some other kids, and even I think Finesse 2 times, like his son, like, y'all got these guys, like, they acting like they scammers. Like, they really, you know what I mean, got things to worry about. And they 8 and 9 years old. So it's like, I'm a fan of Northwest. What's she doing? Like I said, she's not going to be in jail, even if she is dropping out elementary school, clearly, because it's just going to get messy. That's the worst thing she said in that song. And it was hilarious. Man. So I'm feeling it. I think she got a great feel.
Wait, so you ain't rocking with Lil RT, bro? He out here, man, putting on.
I am, but I think his parole officer should be rocking him harder. You know what I mean? The type of things they having him doing, it's just a matter of time. Y'all got to be careful. This is, you know what I mean?
That reminds me of remember Lil Mouse out of Chicago?
Wow, like, fuck around, get smoked.
I was, he was killing
it. Was hard. Like, it really wasn't.
Fuck around. Oh, look like he would get booted across the street. Like, really? And he was smoking. He probably had smoked a couple people at that time, man. But that's crazy. Is he all right? I think I seen him out with a little video like a year or two ago.
Nigga probably in jail.
To be honest with you, I don't want to be around, bro. You know what I mean? You dangerous.
You don't fuck around.
These young kids got shiesty masks on and whatnot. Like I said, that's why, especially in Chicago, I could believe 10, 11 years old, yeah, you fuck around and get smoked messing with him. There was a video where they had the guns in their book bag in the gym in like a middle school in Chicago.
After school, huh? Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I was like, yo, not a pencil in sight. Like all 45s and 38s and extensions. I'm like, y'all out of line.
We used to the number 2, the pencil. Yeah, but you ain't got none of those.
Ain't even have the big doofy kindergarten one, bro. Had guns.
You don't want no problems. You just talk. Okay. Hey, man, I'm gonna go.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. You know, my son, he's 8 years old. What is Northwest? He probably was like 10, 11.
It would take.
Yeah, and he rocking with it. And anytime it come on, he. No best, he calls himself Mr. West. Yeah, he know he killing it. She rocking, man. So I'm excited to see what she got. Go ahead, drop the album because the kids will be listening. That's a guarantee. Especially now, imagine her doing some covers, some Kanye covers for Kids Bop. Oh man, she gonna destroy the game.
Right. Go ahead, put that out. 808 lunch breaks, man.
808 lunch break. I'm here for it.
I'll check it out. Definitely check it out. But yeah, like I said, y'all, support the youth, support their arts, and keeping in music, y'all. I want to dive into another musical genius out the Northwest and Chris Brown. Now, if y'all haven't been paying attention, Chris Brown, obviously recent big news when the NBA All-Star game, they had uninvited him. He was a little disgruntled about that and went to voice his frustrations via Instagram. Now he's back again, but this time it's more so dealing with fans and Chris Brown telling them to, quote unquote, recognize his greatness. So, fellas, I'm just going to read what he posted and then pretty much have y'all react. So He posted the story, said, "I don't want to be accepted from none of the mainstream media and fake celebrities. I am king in my own lane." And then he followed this up with, "Your fave ain't got shit on me, and you know it, and they know it. Ain't finna tap dance for approval. You will beg forgiveness of me. That I do know." And people obviously went on to say that they he could be talking about Quavo, but it's that and third. Fellas, regardless of what he's talking about, one, what do you think of the post? And two, do you feel like some people do, I guess, undervalue Chris Brown when it comes to his greatness, as he mentioned?
Man, until the day Chris Brown died, unfortunately. And after he died, they never gonna forgive him for the Rihanna stuff. That's what all this shit about, bro. It's, that shit happened when he was like 19, right?
Yeah, he ain't doing nothing else. It's just that. Yeah, really.
If it wasn't for that, he probably would be on Michael Jackson level. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I understand how frustrated he is. What's him and Quavo beef? Is it over the girl?
Yeah.
I think so.
Niggas always fighting. Yeah, bro. Other than that, I like Quavo. I fuck with Quavo. Unfortunately, Chris, bro, and Rihanna, shit, they not gonna let you. They not gonna let go of that, bro. And it's frustrating, bro, because you him, you on that level, and we all know it. But you know the culture we live in, bro. The double standards are real, bro. But I understand your frustration.
Yeah, I'm Team Breezy, bro. Just because you know I rock with Michael Jackson. He's one of my favorite. I mean, who doesn't rock with Michael Jackson? He's one of my favorite artists of all time. And then when you look at Chris Brown's ability to make music, sing, write, and then I don't even think MJ was too heavy on the writing, but his ability to make videos, cultivate videos, and put those visuals together, dance, put on a show, and then just being, you know, very likable and having the fans, the women fans, and having everybody going crazy, and then still have the respect of men. Chris Brown is definitely this generation's Michael Jackson, if there is one. You know, I believe it is him for sure. Or it could be him. I don't think he quite transcends music the way Michael Jackson does, because he, you know, Michael Jackson could put out a movie and Moonwalker, or he could, you know, anything he did was just next level. I'm not sure Chris Brown is quite there yet, but a lot of it has to do with him being held back by the whole Rihanna situation. Because other than that, I mean, he threw a chair out of, at TRL? He threw the chair out at the window in Times Square. He went a little crazy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, but Michael Jackson was bleaching his skin and had monkey pets, so it ain't really like he doing nothing too crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like Michael Jackson was a little bit more off the wall, you know, no pun intended, than Chris Brown. So, and I mean, truth be told, I don't even care. I mean, I can't be canceled. I mean, Rihanna was beating his ass, right? She was smacking his ass up. Grabbed his balls. That's what they say. Grabbed his privates.
You know you can't say that shit, man. It's double standards, man. You know the double standards.
Grabbed
his
privates. What you supposed to do? Go ahead and crush my balls. Like, no. No, you gonna get a knot upside your head. We gotta get up off me. Get up off me. You're threatening my future. Threatening my
what he said on House Party, don't touch my body. don't touch my body, dog.
But
man, you can't defend yourself, man.
But as far as his post, I didn't think of Quavo. You know, some people, I mean, I think he's always going to have a little bit of issue with Drake, although it seemed like they patched it up with the song and everything, no guidance. I immediately thought of Usher, because he's just getting so big recently, and he's just did the Super Bowl. And that's y'all fave right now. You know, they had obviously a history in a relationship. Somebody put it out there. There's the rumor that Chris Brown put hands on him in a bus after a roller skating event. Sounds very probable, you know, because neither one of them wanted to say anything. Ain't nothing happened. Cool. Like, nigga, something happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's more believable if you say, hey, there was an altercation, it's over. They both denied it altogether, which makes me think something happened. And I would believe that Chris Brown, you know, we already heard he got hit. He went to jail. He already been, you know, putting up fades.
So correct.
You already know Chris Brown, he about that time. He got time anytime. Yeah, he got time. So, yeah, I thought of Usher, but, you know, he ain't going to never
put
be.
Your hands on me, dog. You ain't putting your hands on me and getting away with a big dog. I'm sorry.
And that's why, I mean, Usher, he really should have kept that relationship with Usher. And I do believe, unfortunately, I do think Chris Brown is under the influence of drugs often. You know what I'm saying? If you look at his interviews, boy, twitching and that boy be moving. And I really think he should have, you know, cultivated that relationship with Usher and kept that protected, because he was his like last lifeline into the main industry, in my opinion. Nobody else really messing with him other than like, right. I mean, Gunna did a track with him. We know where Gunna at now. But other than that, nobody's really collaborating with Chris Brown. So it's just unfortunate where he's at.
Ace Hood said on the Drink Champ interview that when he went independent, like he couldn't even reach Chris Brown no more. Meaning, like when he was signed to DJ Khaled, Ace Hood, he was like, and after that was over, Chris Brown kind of flaked on him. Mm. So
I just throw this out. Chris Brown, to your point, it's like a lot of interesting things y'all mentioned. I feel like, yeah, him cultivating that relationship with Usher would have been good, but respectfully, I think he's just as big, if not bigger, than Usher. So I just want to throw that out there. Like I said, shout out to Chris Brown on the musical side. That aside, I just feel like a lot of the other like reasons that people like have to hate him, it's like some of y'all favorite artists have done things just so much more demonic and whatnot, that just haven't been highlighted. And it's worse to me because they were older. And some of these people were like repeat offenders. Like, it's not like for years, like, I don't want to throw certain people out there, but like Trey Songz, for instance, I don't know anything, but for years.
I heard he a fucking monster, bro.
We've heard stories, right? Chris Brown, I never heard anything else again after that. So I feel like just this labeling, like this was just some out of control guy. Even like Lee Boy said, even now with the drugs, it's like, I ain't gonna hold you. There's a lot of people on drugs right now. They ain't making as much as Chris Brown. They, you know, got eight balls and meth and whatnot right after work. So I'm not saying I condone anybody. I just feel like his musical genius and expertise, until this man is committing felonies and hurting people's like livelihoods for real, let's stop it. Because like I said, at 19, to get into a fight that you still paying for at 32, 33 years old is ridiculous.
Man, you know it's about who you like, man. It depends on how, if they like you or not, how much they like you. If they like you enough, they'll ignore it. I don't think Chris Brown was liked enough, because Rihanna's still very popular, bro. It's about who he done it to. For the double Jay-Z standards,
effect. It's the Jay-Z right. effect.
Rihanna actually, said it's okay. So,
yeah, and they pretty much got back into a relationship together, did a song together right after that whole issue, and she tried to clear his name. But I believe Jay-Z and Roc Nation have a big effect on the entire industry. Obviously, they have huge influence. I actually used to have a shirt with Jay-Z knocking out Chris Brown. I used to love that shirt. But just because they had, it was wild. I still have, I could, in fact, I would love to show it to the people right now if I put this clip together. But yeah, Jay-Z has a huge influence on the game. Nicki Minaj has been talking about it, and I believe that's the reason why she went at Megan Thee Stallion, because of the Roc Nation, their whole affiliation. And people are afraid to speak the name. I don't think Chris Brown is going to speak the name, but I believe that has a big impact on why he's not where he should be, is because he crossed a Roc Nation artist, and he's been paying for it ever since. Similar to Dame Dash. Look at Dame. We talked about Dame Dash earlier. Look at Dame Dash, man. Nobody will touch Dame Dash with a major deal. It's not going to happen because of Jay-Z and Roc Nation.
I'm just glad Kanye still fuck with Dame. And with Dame, now to get back on that, I don't think none of this shit about the money. I just think Dame, man, dog, you hurt me when you did that, my nigga. You and Biggs. Fuck the money. We all get money. It's beyond that, bro. It's like, God damn, fam, we came in the game together. Not understand growing apart, but dog, like, it's a cold world, bro.
Someone just propositioned with me with doing someone else dirty just this week. I'm like, what is gonna look like when it come out? Like, why would I do that? Why? I don't know. And there's people, snakes in the grass, man.
I really think people don't think there's so much going on, but like you said, I be looking at people like, you can see you. Like one of them type of thing, but people just, yeah, whatever. You saw me, but you ain't going to remember tomorrow. It's like, I will. Like, I still remember.
Bro, it's people have different morals. People care about different things. People, what may bother us may not bother that person. Man, they may not give a fuck. Like, and I it's hard to stay away from those people, especially when we in the game that we in. But I can just tell, I'm going to be the one smacking the shit out of a lot of niggas, bro. Out of the three, out of us three. And I'm not saying that y'all not capable. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, niggas, I got some dang bashes to fit in. Yeah, niggas not about to play with me, bro. I swear to God they not. Because it's unnecessary. We too real. We too transparent. We too honest for niggas to be playing games. And that's just what it is, bro. To me, at least.
Is that why Chris Brown smacked up Usher?
I ain't smacking nobody. I'm really a nice guy.
I'm not.
Y'all watch out for Jamar. Be careful.
I'm good to my people, man. I'm good to my people. And I'm good to people who are good to me. But if you get in my way, I'm getting you out of my way, dog. Straight up. I done been through too much, bro, in my 30 years on this planet. Nah. My people know I'm good with them. Whoever my people know who my people are. Y'all know y'all good, bro. Anybody get in my way, son, I'm going to take their personal, bro. And I'm going to be on their ass. Pause.
Well, fellas, diving in, you know, rounding it out. Nostalgia, obviously, we talked about it earlier, but I want to get into nostalgic music. And basically, there's some percentages out there, give or take. They say that 70% of people listen to old school music still. By old school, we're talking about 80s, 90s, 2000s, Bob. So, fellas, one, I want y'all to tell me, why do you think that is? And two, do you think this is going to continue for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years to come? What you thinking?
You know, it's funny. I actually just had a conversation about this earlier this week. I'm always with my family. And I've been listening. I like to listen to a lot of 70s funk, a lot of 70s R&B, Gap Band, you know, Frankie Beverly and Maze, even all kind of shit. All kind of shit where music was music. They was really playing it, right? They was really playing the music. They was really using their voices. And it's just vibes, right? And I was asking my girl, like, are they going to remember this shit? Are they going to live it? Is this legacy going to continue on? Because I know, obviously, with the radio, and we was just in the car, my mom just always had it on. That's how I knew all these songs coming up. And the radio is a big piece of the puzzle, because most people listen to Apple Music or they stream, or they don't really listen to the radio. So there's not a proliferation of those hits that are just getting ingrained into our next generation heads. So I know that I'm trying to consciously do that now after I was thinking about it, but I don't see how this can continue on with the next generation. It's going to be difficult. But as far as, you know, what people are listening to now, I just think this current music is just not sticking. Like, they just came out with the Playboi Carti song, and everybody going crazy over that shit. I don't know what bro was saying. There is no way that song is going to stand the test of time. There is absolutely no way that the music of today will, you know, I can't see it transcending generations, because one, it's a lot of it is stolen from previous generations, so they're recycling, so the best parts of the songs are already in other songs. And then two, they're really just not, it's just the beat in the 808. It's not the actual lyrics, the feeling. It's just a euphoria. It's really hypnotizing what the music is doing to these kids. It's not the actual lyrics, and it doesn't invoke a real feeling in life to me. Maybe I just might be a little bit old and, you know, over the hill when it comes to understanding it. But I just don't see how they're grasping on to the new music. Right now, the biggest albums are Kanye, Nicki. These are old school, quote unquote, their legacy acts. I don't see the big acts that are coming out right now that are able to really command the generation. So I am very down on music right now.
Let me play devil's advocate, I guess. Right now, it's Gen Z, right? Mm-hmm. So in 15, 20 years, right, was nostalgia to them may not be nostalgia to us. It's going to still be nostalgia because it's going to be 15, 10 years old. But in 10, 15 years, their music is going to be considered old school music too. So with that being said, I think it's going to stay like that. Because when we were younger, I don't know about y'all, when we were younger, when I was younger, maybe our parents did this too. My music, they couldn't stand. Mm-hmm. Turn that Lil Wayne off. I don't want to hear that shit. That ain't no real music. Turn Jay-Z off, right? But to us, that's gold. That's a golden era. That, like, that's nostalgia, bro. This is back in 05, bro. Carter 2 came out in 2005. We in 2024, 19 years ago. That's considered nostalgia, bro. But when I was jamming that, when I was a 13-year-old kid jamming that, my mom and my parents didn't want to hear that shit. So I think every generation clings to their music. Meaning, we cling to ours. Our parents cling to the Marvin Gaye, the Motowns, the Jackson 5s, whatever. They cling to theirs. We cling to ours. The niggas who was outside in the 90s cling to Pac and Big. I think nostalgia music will always reign supreme, bro. And like you said, new music, it's TikTok, it's 2 minutes long, it's a lot of samples. But in all fairness, Puff made a whole record label in the 90s based off of samples. All Bad Boy hits are samples. Jay-Z, early Jay-Z, I say from Reasonable Doubt to Blueprint 2. Oh, Jay-Z, all his albums full of samples, old classic samples. So you can't really hate on a young boy for sampling stuff. It's always been that way. But nostalgic music, I'ma say as a 90s kid, music back then was better and it was longer and our attention span was longer too. So, and again, we have a pride to our music. So that I think that's why the percentages are the way they are.
I want to take my bias out of this because, Jamal, you raised a good point. I'm going to disagree. And the reason I want to take my bias out of this because, to your point, like you said, every 10, 15 years plus, the music is going to be considered nostalgic. But I think to Lee right. Boy's TikTok aside and whatnot, even some of those artists you mentioned, there's a reason why there's artists that our parents and even our parents' parents listen to that all three of us, it's not even just on some, oh, I can stomach it. It's on some, if somebody turned it on, we jamming. And I feel like the music that's being made now, forget how short it is. And like you said, even like the sampling, I think it's...
Hold up, Matt. Let me ask you this. I don't mean to cut you off. Matt, mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. When I was a kid, I didn't want to hear no Jackson 5.
I did.
I wanted to, but see, I didn't. I do, but Matt, I do now, though. So I get what you're saying, meaning sometimes you just got to get older and the music got to grow on you, bro. Because I ain't want to hear no Jackson 5. Michael Jackson, yes. Jackson 5, Temptations, not so much.
That might have been a little corny, but I was always rocking with them, but I get what you're saying, yeah.
No, yeah, and to your point, though, Jamal, I just think, like I said, more so some of these artists, again, to the content fact, because for us, all of us, like you said, you got older, you can listen to it, even Michael Jackson. We know the words and whatnot. When we get older, I don't care who you are, even some of these kids, saying these Playboy Cardi lines when you're 25, 30 years old, you're going to feel crazy because you're like, well, what was he talking about? Even us. How did we miss that? Which y'all can check out in the 80s, 90s, 2000s by a page. Now, with us going back here, something it's like, pause. Whoa, you said what? What did you mean? Like, why is this the slang? So I just think that from a content standpoint, the stuff that's being made today, 2024, it won't stand the test of time just because it's not strong enough. I don't think it has to do with sampling or any of that. I think as we grow, some stuff will, but for the most part, it's just going to be.
But y'all, I'm pretty sure our parents said that about us.
That's
my point, bro.
My mom has never put on Jay-Z, so yeah, I see. You know what I'm saying? Like, parents like rap, ever listening to Wayne?
No, but do your parents like rap? Because that's because Jamal, you said that. I don't know about y'all, but like, I was a single mother. My mother didn't listen to rap, so it made sense that she.
My mom liked a little hip hop. She was more R&B, but she liked a little hip hop,
little Q-Tip or something. Yeah,
right. Yeah, right. Because she loved Aaliyah because she felt Aaliyah was a balance of both. Our parents said the same thing about us, bro. I remember they used to talk shit about us. Yeah, listen to that dumbass music. I think every generation feel that.
I hear Jamal, but I'm just saying for me at least, maybe it's just my experience. The men that was around that was older, that was fans of rap, not to say they like everything that I listen to, but they more or less liked a lot of this stuff. I feel like for me, the people who were around in my childhood, like, turn that off, I ain't trying to listen to it. They didn't listen to rap to begin with like that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we see certain artists like Drake that could, you know, his shit is going to definitely last. But one of the biggest artists of today, NBA Youngboy, can you see putting your son onto NBA? if you 12 years old right now, you're going to put your kids on it. He is one of the biggest artists of all time. Somebody was making the argument that he could be the GOAT just because of how many albums that he's put out, how many top 10 singles he's put out, and his just impact on this era. I've never heard any of his music on the radio ever.
The YouTube darling, if you will.
But this is somebody, obviously somebody's listening to it. Can you see the 10, 12, 15 year olds that's out right now putting their kids on NBA Youngboy in 15 years? I just don't see it. So that's where I could see, you know, certain artists, yes, I could see them crossing over. Like there's some good R&B hits, like the Money Long track right now, obviously that's great. And there's some good. I like Doja Cat stuff. Some of that stuff could last. All that could last. But it's just, you know, some of these rap artists. It might just be a problem with rap. It might be a problem with rap.
NBA Youngboy is what, 25?
Something like that, I believe. Yeah, sounds about
he's
right.
The GOAT, he's the GOAT, though. GOAT right now.
But he's 25, bro. I'm 30. That means he's just 5 years younger than me. I can't relate. I can't relate to his music, bro. But the young boys love, bro. The young kids love that dude, bro. You see what I'm saying? So we sound like our parents. That's all.
The culture, Jamal, to your point, I just want to throw this out there because, right, me and you, we both listen to Wayne, but at least I don't know about you. I wasn't sipping lean. I think young boy now, some of these artists now, even some of the ways that these kids are indulging in the lifestyle of artists. We just heard about Jay-Z, but I didn't sit no Cristal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't. Right. I didn't have access. These kids now, they have the access and the wherewithal to actually be able to go out and do some of the things they're handing around. And I think that's why the longevity of this stuff ain't going to last. Because it's like, no knock to them, but it's like, from a smart, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't see me getting older and going back and be like, oh, that NBA young boy that didn't slap when I was 29 is hitting at 42.
I feel you. I receive that, bro. But
it's certain artists.
You never know, bro. I never thought I'd be on the podcast with y'all two ever.
That's a great
thing. Here I am. That's great. You know what I'm saying? You never know what's going to turn. Which way entertainment music gonna turn hip hop?
It ain't gonna be Young Boy, man. I can't say no.
Young Boy, now,
I didn't try to listen to a couple of his albums. He could put out one a month. I remember he was going on a stretch. He was put out a couple back to back. I was just like, man, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But he's still doing his thing out here. So, you know, it, like you said, only time will tell. You know, shout out to everybody that's making music in this generation. But I'm still rocking with the Ye and the Nicki right now.
Yeah, last thing I'm going to say, NBA Youngboy, because like I said, I'm not a hater. Me personally, not just him, but there's a few artists that when they rap, I just feel like you yelling at me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you feel like you almost cursing at me, and now I got to yell back instead of enjoy the music. So for me, it's just...
Man, Mystical was like that, man. Don't do that.
And Mystical was wilding, you know what I mean? We see where he at now.
Man. I'ma just say again, every generation just stuck to their music. That's all. And it's not like we dying. We still here. The niggas that was in the '90s and the '80s listen to that shit, they still alive, bro. That wasn't that long ago. So they still listen to their music, which is helping the streaming. A lot of them don't use streaming, but a lot of them do. They still around listen to their music. They still rather listen to their music when they were growing up, when they were kids, than modern music. That's why. And I'm like that, bro. I listen to old school music. I say about 70% of the time. I'm gonna keep it a static.
And for me, it's almost 90.
Yeah,
it's almost 90% of the time for me that I'm listening to something that came out over 10 years ago, at least. Like, I'll listen to the new albums. I'll give it a chance. And, you know, it's just hard for me to, maybe it's just hard for me to relate. Or maybe I just don't know the right artist.
But in
these days, I just like R&B a lot more. I can rock with the R. Now, if it's R&B, some Coco Jones or something, I'll let that play. I can rock with some new R&B all day. It's just hard for me to get with the rap just because, you know what, there was just a certain spirit and there was a consciousness to rap. Even if you was Jay-Z talking about drug dealing, or, you know, you was DMX talking about violence, he was also talking about his mental health. And Jay-Z was also talking about
DMX literally had prayers on his song, on his album, like prayers.
Right. Crazy. And Jay-Z was talking about becoming a billionaire 20 years ago. So I'm missing it. Even with Drake, I'm you know, it's no secret I'm not a real big fan. He's just talking about women and his relationship. I don't see the goal. I don't see the goal, the aspirations. Every once in a while, he'll talk that money talk a little bit, but it's not to the same level that I would get from a Nas or even a Cassidy. Like, Cassidy was about bars. He had a mission. I don't see the mission in these new artists. And so that's just something that I am personally missing. And it really draws me away from music. I'm just on to the podcast. That's all I really listen to. So.
But let me say this in closing. Isn't that how it's supposed to be?
Yeah, it ain't for me because I ain't the one going to concerts. I ain't going to Rolling Loud. I wish I could, but I start
yawning at 8:30, bro.
Yeah, I ain't going.
If anything after 8, count me out. Like, when we do SplatCon and we in L.A., that's different, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say I'm going to be knocked out.
No, I have to build because I'm building my energy. I have to build my energy for certain events, mm-hmm. but I got to know they're coming. I'm not about to go out. I'm not leaving this house. Bro, after we done this podcast, I'm going to eat and go my ass to sleep. Same. I'm just keeping it a stay. But I'm 30 right. now, ain't for bro. Us.
We ain't outside.
When I was in college, bro, we used to pull all-nighters, bro. And sometimes the all-nighter don't have nothing to do with women or drinking or partying. Sometimes we'll be up all night playing a game.
I was about to say, I was on Mortal Kombat in college. When right. I'll never forget. All night.
Me and the homies playing 2K, betting, doing push-ups all night, bro. I can't do that shit. But man, hey, man, y'all got to go. Man, I'm getting sleep. Like, so I think it's designed that way, bro. We'll see where it takes us, bro. But nostalgic, I tell people all the time, people sleep on nostalgia so much. It is a huge, not a big, my nigga, a huge community that I feel like people don't capitalize enough on, bro. It's not the start. We don't live in the past. It's not like I'm going to leave this podcast episode and go put in my CD player. And you know what I'm saying? So we don't live our lives in the past. But that study shows 77% is a lot of people. That study shows that people will always be interested in nostalgia, bro. So take advantage of it. That's all I'm saying, at least.
Embrace it. I agree.
That's why we're here. That's a good ending right there.
But hey, episode 126 in the bag, fellas. Tell them all your socials, all of this stuff you got coming up, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So splatcon.com. Don't forget to use code VIBES10, VIBES10 for 10% off all tickets. VIBES25 for $25 off the hotel package. Come stay with us, man. We're going to have an exclusive event on Saturday night. It might be a comedy show. It might be a club appearance. With some of the 90 stars, we're going to do it up on that Saturday night only. And it's a invite only if you stay with us at the LAX Hilton. So LeonFryerson.com, LeeBoyTV.com, at LeeBoyTV on all socials.
Dope. Yeah, like you said, follow me at Real Matt Corbin on all platforms. Like you said, definitely get out there, y'all. Support SplatCon. Get your tickets early. It's the first event of its kind, so you definitely want to be there. Other than that, obviously, like I said, keep following me on, like I said, YouTube, all platforms, original content coming. How did we miss that? We are nearing the end of season one. I want to thank y'all for y'all support, but we still got we got a million to hit. So keep sharing that. Keep, you know, sending the love. We love y'all.
Hey, man, like I said, like they said, man, SplatCon here to stay. I might as well get used to it because it ain't going nowhere. This is going to be the very first one. But y'all be looking forward to that. Like they said, follow me on Instagram at Jamar. Bro, I don't know my fucking name. Joseph Jermaine Adams on Instagram. If you're sensitive, don't follow me. I don't have time for that shit. Most importantly, follow us on Instagram at 80s19000 Vibe. Same on TikTok, same on Threads. Subscribe to us on YouTube, man. Join our Patreon. If y'all support us, follow our playlist on Spotify, Apple Music. If you support us, then do all this for us, man. We really appreciate this. This is 80s19000 Vibe, the podcast. I am Jamar.
Lee Boy.
Matt Corbin.
And we out.
Peace.